Looking at Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and then skipping down to verse 16 to 17. So it's all on the same page, but just so you follow. So starting out verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Going on to verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In the book of Romans, quite a meaty thing to take for a summer club with 100 children, but I just wanted to focus us really on what Christianity is all about. Now, you might have been coming to church for years, and you might think you know what it's all about. Hopefully, most of you do. Otherwise, frankly, I haven't been doing my job properly for at least six. There will also be people here who are visiting or just taking a look and may not have a clear grasp. And I always think it's best to kind of admit when you don't know and ask, apart from when I'm driving a car and I'm lost, because I don't want to ask for directions. But most of the time, I think it's quite a good idea, because even those of us who have been in church for years, we can often look at other people and look at their faith and what they're experiencing, and we can think, well, yeah, I think I believe in God and everything, but how come my experience of being a Christian isn't like theirs? I mean, they seem to feel the presence of God in a way that I never do. Or they seem to really love the Bible, and I find it really hard work. Or even you hear about things like people speaking in tongues by the Holy Spirit, and you're thinking, well, what? That's not been my experience. What does that mean? I lack something? Am I a kind of second-grade Christian? So I think it's always good for us regularly to come back to this, to come back to what is the gospel, what is the momentous announcement at the heart of Christianity, what is it all about? And I want to read and speak to you today on just one verse, and it's verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then the Gentile. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. What are your impressions of Christianity? Whether you're in the church or not, I mean, I think even for people who've grown up in the church, there are probably many stages along the journey, but I think particularly most obviously when you're a teenager, where You believe in God, you know about Jesus dying for you, and you've got to look around at the church. And you go, yeah, but I wouldn't choose this group of people to hang out with. And maybe you still feel like that today. And you look around and say, it's not that I don't think they're very nice people, they're just not my people, they're not like me. We think, surely if God was kind of choosing a dream team, he could have done slightly better than the barrel scraping represented in our church. See, what are your impressions, I suppose, of this? I think a lot of people look and they think, Christianity is for people who like that sort of thing. You know, they don't want to lie on a Sunday morning, very precious to most of the world. And actually, they'd quite like to go and they'd like to get an old building and sing some old songs. And that's all very well for them. It's irrelevant to me and my life, but, you know. Or perhaps we look at Christians around the world and we think, they're so out of touch with what's going on in the world. Don't they listen to the questions of the world? Why are they talking all about this sort of religious stuff? Or when people are really struggling with questions of identity and value. Maybe even you look at the church, maybe even as a Christian sometimes, and think, I don't like the attitudes that I see around me. It's been something particular, I think, for a lot of people in some of the established Christian denominations recently, as we've heard news of scandals that have been hushed up, of abuses that have happened, even in the church. Or every time some great TV evangelist traveling all over the world, you know, suddenly we learn that actually they've been embezzling millions for years. And everybody goes, well, what do you expect? You see, we can have quite negative attitudes too. And at the heart of the heart of Christianity is this gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Yeah, there are other times when he talks about the church, there are other times he talks about the mission of the church or about loving our neighbors. But right at the core is a momentous announcement, salvation for everyone who believes. And so I want to make 3 points today. It's a good textbook sermon, 3 points, looking at this verse. And the first is this. The gospel is a rescue, not a religion. I'm both explaining what I mean by that. I mean by religion, not necessarily something that's bad, but a pattern, a way of life, certain patterns and habits that we fall into. And actually, you might look at other people, even people who wouldn't claim to be religious, and you can see there are certain things that they always do, certain things they do every morning, certain rituals and habits that they're in. Or actually, we can even look at many different religions and think, well, there's some real things that are quite attractive in them. And particularly when we look at religion, we can see, well, there are better ways to live. You might, for instance, look at our society and think we are in such a rut. Surely there must be a way out. And actually, when we look into religious groups, we can see something a bit different, maybe a different pace of life. There are people who go and they take over whole islands, they move in, and they start a different kind of way of life to say, we don't want rest. And there might be a lot that we can learn from religions, both from Christian religion, but also from others, about our habits, about the way that we live. But see, the thing about a religion is it is about what you do. And therefore, religious teaching is normally good advice. But that isn't what this is. Did you see that? I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel brings salvation. And when I talk to most of my friends, they do not understand why they would possibly need salvation. In fact, I think it can be very easy for us in the church too to forget that we are in need of salvation, in need of a rescue. You see, when Jesus came, he did come with good advice. He did. His teaching has been some of the most influential teaching in human history. He did come with real practical help. And when he saw people who were hungry or poor or ill, he brought powerful healing. And he challenged his followers to do the same. But that isn't the main reason he came. You see, his actual earthly ministry only lasted about 3 years. Because he was very clear throughout that he had come to die on the cross. Why do we need salvation? Well, some people need convincing that they need salvation, other people don't. So, for instance, if you go to a prison, a member of our church here is chaplain at prison, not everybody, but there is often among inmate populations far more of acknowledgement that they are not very good and that they need help. Preach in the prison. And I was asked afterwards, what were your impressions? How did you find it? I said, it was astonishing. It was so easy, in one sense, to preach good news to people who know that they're sinners. But you see, one of the things is we're very good in our lives of polishing up everything, polishing up our good deeds, putting them on display. And whether that was sort of back in the day and in some ways of maybe medals or badges or honors, or whether it's the sort of social media posts where we put a nice filter and we say, look how amazing my life is, or look at the cool person that I'm quoting. It can be very easy to continually be putting on a front. That's why most of us have mirrors by our front doors. So that as we leave the house, we've got to make sure that our hair is not too embarrassing, we haven't got toothpaste smeared all over our chin, because we don't want to go out like that. We want to be fake, but we definitely want to show the best, don't we? And yet, we really aren't even as good as we pretend to be. I wonder if there are three questions I want to ask you. The first is this. Do you obey God's law? When you, the little or the lot that you know about God, and you know about what he said, do you do it? So when you read in the Ten Commandments, and you read, have no other gods before me, do you go, yes, I know that God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one I worship. No, nobody else ever gets a look in. Or when you read, do not murder, we might think, of course, I haven't murdered anybody. And yet Jesus says, you know what, even when we hate somebody, it's like you're wishing them they were dead. And you've already committed murder in your heart. And the same for lust. We might read in the Ten Commandments, do not commit adultery. But how many people haven't looked at something that isn't theirs? And want, even in our imaginations. Do you keep God's law? And another thing might be say, well, can you keep God's law? And I wonder if you've ever tried, and this might be your, especially if you're a regular churchgoer, you want to commit to God this week. I really want to live according to his laws. I think I'm missing out on some of the things that he's got and prepared for me. And I know that actually if I just did what he said, I'd receive so many of his blessings. Well, try it. Try to obey God's law. If you're anything like me, you'll barely make it out the door of church before an unkind thought has entered your mind or some sort of selfishness or jealousy has begun to creep in. But perhaps even more than that, let me ask you a third question. Do you want to obey God's law? Or actually, would you quite like to do what you want? Thanks very much. And when you look in the Bible that God calls you, you know, to give generously and actually self-sacrificially, you go, well, no, thank you, I earn my money. And I'd quite like it. And we're going to need a new car next month. And so I can't be giving away any of that. And we need every penny. Because I think the problem is we don't keep God's law. We frankly can't even keep God's law. And a lot of time we don't even want to. This is a message of rescue, not religion. It's not saying just try harder. It's not piling on. It's not just giving you more advice. It says actually what this message, this gospel comes as salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Well, let's go to the next point. It's for everybody, not just somebody. See that? It's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Everyone, not just some. And so, that sort of thing, they want to go and sing. They love singing. You know, you've got your choir, you've got your church, but frankly, you know what? I'd prefer to be watching sports, or I really do love a Sunday brunch. It's just not my thing. Maybe you're the active sort of person, and the idea of sort of prayer and meditation just leaves you so cold. But this isn't just a message for people of a particular personality type. And even at various points, Christianity has been gone out to different races. It's been shared according to racial boundaries. And even today, in our culture, in our society, that is in so many ways integrated, there are still very, very big divides in the culture and race of different churches. So too with class. So, you know, you used to have the old sort of chapel church divide in many places. Or back in the time of the sort of landed gentry, all the wealthy people would go in the morning to be seen and then their servants would go in the evening. And even today, churches are growing most among the suburban middle class. Well, what about those areas where there isn't any money in it and there's no glamour? And even try to arrange a few people to turn up to make something happen can be such a struggle. And even the north-south divide in this country, the church leaders continue complaining that they cannot persuade vicars to move north. This is a message for everyone, not just some. And I wonder, you might be sitting there thinking, it's really not for me. It might be that because you're thinking, you know what, it's okay, I know none of us are perfect, but if you really knew what I'd done, you'd know it's not for me. Or you might be looking and saying, yeah, but okay, you do all this Christian stuff. I just don't want to do that. It does not float my boat. I do not want to. They're thinking, well, I know that the good news is for people like me, but not for people like that. So it was, I was sitting in church, and I was sitting in a church where I was curate. I was sitting in sort of third row, I think it was, and the ladies in front of me, up the other side of church, sort of collapses, steaming, reeking of booze. And they immediately turn to me and go, what's he doing? And at which point I go, excuse me, ladies, this is exactly where he should be. And maybe we can look and we can say, you know, socially that person doesn't look like me or feel like me. They don't fit into my kind of social network, so I didn't even know how to talk to them. And we can so easily even judge and say, this is just for some. And the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. So you can't draw a line according to sexuality or even sexual morality. You can't draw a line according to backgrounds of religion or ethnicity. You can't draw a line according to how much money somebody's got. You can't draw a line even according to their intellectual ability. That's why it's so important that churches actually think about how they're going to make sure that this good news is made accessible to everybody. What languages are we going to use? There's so many churches were built with steps and ramps as a way of saying, look how fantastic and important this church is. And it keeps people out. It's for everyone, not just some. And finally this, the gospel is a gift, not a grind. See, we might look in at Christianity and think, it's a way of life that seems a bit dull, frankly. There's a lot of things you're not supposed to do. Thou shalt not. And yes, okay, maybe we don't exactly want to murder, but you know, being angry at somebody is really fun sometimes. You know, if they've really annoyed you, and it's quite it, my anger towards people, particularly not if they deserve it. Or, you know, I mean, God really cares about not even just what goes on in my bedroom, but what goes on in my head. And the thoughts that I have about other people, well, butt out. Why would I want to choose that way of life? I think a lot of people's impressions of Christianity is that God, well, basically, he likes the carrot and the stick. You know the analogy? The carrot is the appealing thing that makes the donkey go faster. And we're promised, yes, eternal life forever, isn't this going to be wonderful? You're like, okay, brilliant. Okay, so that's over there. You know, and maybe that's more appealing to people, that eternal life is a bit nearer. But when you're 14, it could potentially be quite a long way off. And you're thinking, is it worth the decades of sacrifice to get the carrot? And then God's kind of standing over this stick saying, you've got to keep going, you've got to behave, and if you don't, you're in trouble. The carrot and the stick. Yeah, it might be a miserable life, but is it worth it? Well, I'll tell you what happens here. And it's a refrain that we came back and back with the children this week. And it's this is a gift. It is a gift from somebody who loves us. The message of salvation is salvation for everyone who believes. And yeah, we might think that looks really miserable, but you know what? It isn't. That isn't the point. It's not about saying no. It's about saying yes to God. And of course that means we're going to leave things alone. But of course that's because marriage is better than a series of one-night stands. Of course you're going to say no to other things because you want to say yes to something that's better. But even with that way of life, that people think, you know, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, because if I live this life and deny myself, then eventually I'll get the carrot. Well, that's a sort of earning, deserving kind of religion. It says, do this, do this, do this. And if you do it well enough, at the end you'll get the reward. But time and time again, we heard this week, it's a gift. It's a gift. What happens, and there's a great moment where, you know, Reese comes on, gives Tom a gift, and Tom gets out his wallet and says, how much do I owe you? And I turn to the children, why is it so stupid to do that? Like somebody comes around your house at your birthday, and they come with a massive gift, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to pay him back for that. It's a gift. You receive it. Do you see that? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. How do we receive it? We believe. We trust. We say, yes, Lord, I want that. It's not that decades of sacrifice and misery are going to eventually get us something slightly better. Now, this is something that God wants to give us, and so many of us just keep our arms folded. Just say, no thanks. I think there might be a catch. I'm read all the small print, and frankly, I don't want to. It's a gift, not a grind. It's not about paying it back, as if you ever could. It's a gift. It's a gift from somebody that loves you. And that's why Paul writes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. If you're a Christian, I hope that this is a sort of prayer that you pray a lot. It's a prayer that just reminds us how we stand before God as those who've received a gift that is rescue, is available for everybody. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, you want to pray this. It's a great opportunity for you to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to lay down these attempts to try and pay you back or earn your favor. In fact, I'm going to acknowledge that I need salvation. I'm going to receive your rescue. This is for everyone. And if that's you today, then do pray with me. Would you bow your heads as we pray? Great God, loving Father, we thank you that you offer us a gift, salvation for everyone who believes. Grant us faith, we pray, to believe that. Lord, we are sorry for the times we go our own way, for the times that we reject your rules, your authority over our lives. And so, Lord, we come. We come to you humbly and in such gratitude for the gift that you give us in Jesus. Thank you that there is salvation, that there is rescue and forgiveness. And Lord, for those of us who believe this, help us to be those who willingly offer and share this wonderful good news. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.